Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
This is the Stampede Blue Podcast, the official podcast of the Indianapolis Colts on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm Dave Walker, and on today's podcast, we're going to talk about the defenses in the AFC South, how they rank, go through the position groups, talk about where the Indianapolis Colts may rank amongst the four teams in the South, and have they made enough improvements to be the top defense in the AFC South? We'll see. Let's go through it. And let us start with the trenches. We started with the trenches when we talked about offense. I think it's important to focus on this position group. It's one where the Colts had a little bit of a mixed bag last year. First, before we go into that, let's talk real quick about where these teams were last year and what that may mean for them coming into this season. So of the four teams in the South, when you look at Football Outsiders' DVOA statistics, and I'm a big fan of this, it takes into account the weight of the games that they played as far as the quality of the opponents they faced, and it weighs that based on expected productivity. And the Colts were eighth in total DVOA. They were the best in the AFC South in this particular metric. Where it fell apart a little bit, and this is probably not going to be a surprise to any of you, is they were third against the run. So their rushing DVOA was third in the league. And however, their passing DVOA was 17th. So sort of middle of the pack, not terrible, but not great. And I think this is an area where they're going to want to see some pretty dramatic improvement this year. I think the potential's there. We'll obviously get into that as we talk about the specifics. Next to them, Tennessee was actually 12th in DVOA. So they were not bad, but they were a few spots behind Indianapolis. That may be a bit of a surprise. I think most people consider Tennessee to have the better defense overall, and I think that may be biased against the fact that they did have a pretty good pass rush. Similarly, they were a little bit more even across the board. They were a little bit worse against the run. They were 14th, so not bad, middle of the pack. They were 11th in pass DVOA, so they did a little bit better job of stopping teams from scoring on them through the air. Houston was 23rd in total DVOA. It's actually higher than I thought they would be. They were 22nd against the pass, 22nd against the run. And Jacksonville, this will probably be a surprise to no one, was 31st. Only the Jets ranked worse than them in total defense. They were actually 19th against the run, 31st against the pass. So again, not just about what you would expect out of Jacksonville, a team that is clearly still in rebuild mode. Same for the Texans. Texans, I think, were ranked a little bit higher than I expected, and I think that's because of primarily one position group on their roster, but we'll get into that here in just a second. All right, let's start with the Colts. Last year was the defensive line. I think many people saw some promise here. You obviously had the incredibly good DeForest Buckner anchoring the interior of this line. The Colts, however, did move on from two of their top pass rushers, Al-Quadin Muhammad, who had six sacks last year, is no longer with the team. Likewise, 5.5 sacks. Kamoko Ture is no longer with the Colts. And they backfilled, if you will, those positions. Number one, I think the big name to pay attention to here is Kwity Paye. What will he do in his second year? Obviously, his first year as a rookie was not as explosive as many people would hope. He did have four sacks. And I want to emphasize this for people. When it comes to pass rushers, their real emergence, for the most part, is years two and three. With Paye, I think a lot of people are expecting him to take a leap forward this year. And I think, honestly, I believe that will be the case. Obviously, the big name here, though, is Yannick Ngakoue. And the trade to land him from Las Vegas, I think, is going to be a big payoff. He's a player with a tremendous amount of upside still. You know, he started off in Jacksonville, spent his first, I believe, 4 years there, bounced around a little bit, but he is a player that can get after the passer. He's consistently, you know, between 7-10 sacks a year. I think if you add that with what you've got in the developing Kwity Paye and DeForest Buckner, you've got the foundations of a good defensive line. Pardon me. After these guys, I think there's, you know, some more question marks. You have Deo Odeyingbo, who's going to be in there at defensive tackle. He was a rookie last year, second round pick. Will he take a step forward? I think there's, you know, there was some promise with what we saw out of him last year. And you've got the two rookies that they added just this year, and Curtis Brooks and Eric Johnson. And I've already gone on record saying I really like the potential of both these guys to, you know, contribute as rotational players on this defensive line. So in total, I feel good about what the Colts have done here. The pass rush should be somewhat improved. I think this is a unit that the emergence of Kwity Paye will be a big factor. Hopefully that second year leap will be there. But the big name, obviously, Yannick Ngakoue, I think is going to help a lot. So between Buckner and Ngakoue and the hopeful, optimistic emergence of Kwity Paye, this is a unit that could cause some damage in 2022. Unfortunately, the Tennessee Titans in the defensive front are coming back with several guys who are pretty big contributors. And, you know, off the top of my head, if I'm looking at guys who get after the passer, they've got Harold Landry, who had 12 sacks last year, Danico Autry, who had 9 sacks last year, and obviously you've got Jeffrey Simmons, who had 8.5 sacks last year. This is a unit that in 2021 had 43 sacks, which ranked 10th in the league last year. By contrast, the Colts, obviously not nearly as high, 33 total sacks, ranked 25th in the league. Tennessee can get after the passer, and I think this is an area of strength for them. So I expect that with all of these guys returning, you know, Bud Dupree is, you know, throw him in there as well. Even if he hasn't quite lived up to his draft, you know, potential, he's still a guy that can give you, you know, 4-6, maybe sometimes at his peak, 8 sacks a year. This is a defensive front that could cause some problems. You know, Tennessee didn't lose anyone here. They obviously lost a lot on the offensive side of the ball, but this is a potential area of strength for them. So don't want to say it, but Tennessee right now has a pretty good defensive front. As for the Houston Texans, last year they had 32 sacks on the year, which was 28th in the league. So not a unit that was getting after the passers well. They did make some additions. They picked up Jerry Hughes, the longtime veteran who actually started off in Indianapolis and spent a lot of years in Buffalo. He's going to help out that unit. Obviously, their big name was Jonathan Greenard, former third-round pick, who will be going into his third year. He was their best pass rusher by a long shot in 2021. But this unit overall, I think, is still in rebuild mode. Don't sleep on Houston to make improvements in 2022. I just don't think they're quite there yet. Now, as for Jacksonville, from a pass rush standpoint, last year they also had 32 sacks, which put them at 27th in the league, right there with Houston. So again, not a team that was consistently getting after the passer. But they've got some interesting young pieces. Obviously, Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen, with 7.5 sacks, is their best pass rusher. Right behind him, Dwayne Smoot last year had 6 sacks. And then it falls off from there. And that's obviously going to be an issue for them. It's going to be their depth as they continue to rebuild their roster. But this is a defensive front that, you know, has some promise. They picked up another player in Trayvon Walker that could be a legitimate, you know, top-tier pass rusher. We'll see, you know, how he does coming out of UGA, their number one pick this year. He is a name to pay attention to. And then Arden Key, you know, on the interior of the defensive line, former third-round pick, seems to really finally be developing into the kind of player they hoped he would be. So this is a defensive front that's got some promise, a lot of youth. But again, they just – I don't know that you can bank on them making a big leap from last year to this, unless you believe that Urban Meyer was just the cause of all of the ills in Jacksonville. And if you do, I don't blame you. So if I'm looking at these four units, the defensive fronts, honestly, right now, I still think the nod has to go to Tennessee. They're bringing back all the guys that made the biggest difference as far as getting after the passer. They may not have been as good at stopping the run as the Colts were, but they were in the top 10 in sacks. Indianapolis is close. I think they've closed the gap there. However, they're banking on Kwity Paye taking that next step this year. I think he will. I think he will. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to go from four sacks to eight, maybe even 10 this year. I think having Yannick Ngakoue is going to help on the other side of the ball. DeForest Buckner is obviously a beast on the interior. Really, really like what the Colts have done, but I'm not sure we can quite move them into that number one spot yet. I'm going to put them right behind Tennessee. Texans and Jaguars right now, you know, flip a coin. They're both sort of at the bottom of the league and getting after the passer. Jacksonville probably has the most upside here with Walker, their number one pick, coming in as a potential, you know, top-tier pass rusher. We'll see how that works out. But right now, you know, I'd probably give the nod to Jacksonville as third here in the unit with a lot of potential to move up from there. And then Houston rounding it out at the bottom. All right, we're going to talk about the linebackers and the secondary. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Stampede Blue podcast. This is David Walker. We're talking about the defensive rankings, our thoughts on how the defenses rank in the AFC South. And we've talked about the defensive fronts. Let's talk about linebacker. Obviously, when you talk about linebacker, you can't help but immediately go to the Colts and Darius Leonard, one of the best linebackers in the league. Look, the only question mark here with Leonard is the health of his ankle. As we've seen, he has not been practicing so far in OTAs. The Colts have said that they're just taking it easy on that ankle. They want to give him plenty of time to heal. Obviously, it's a little bit concerning, but he was a top-tier linebacker even with a bad ankle. So I fully suspect that by the time the season gets here, he's going to be mostly healthy, ready to go, and he'll continue to be one of the best linebackers in the league. Next to him, you know, there are some question marks. Zaire Franklin has been good the past couple of years. I think he's someone that, you know, has sort of emerged as a former seventh-round pick. And, of course, you've got Bobby Okereke, who, as a former third-round pick, is entering his fourth year. It's going to be an important year for him. The contract year is going to prove to the Colts that he's someone they want to keep for the long term. The potential is there. Obviously, we've seen him play well. We've seen some really bright spots. We've seen some rough spots, but I think he's a player that's got, you know, still some upside, and I think the Colts are going to want to see what he can do under Gus Bradley this year before they commit to him for the long term. Moving over to Tennessee, they've got two linebackers that are decent. I wouldn't put them anywhere near Darius Leonard, either of them, with David Long, their former sixth-round pick from 2019, entering his fourth year as well. He probably had his best year in his third year in the league. And, of course, you've got Zach Cunningham, who is entering his sixth year. And decent enough player, you know, pretty good in run defense. This is not a unit that I think is a strength for Tennessee, and I think, you know, there's a pretty strong nod to the Colts here. Taking a look at the Texans, the story here I think gets even more distinct. Christian Kirksey is in the middle of this defense, and he's okay. I don't think he's someone that anyone is fearful of in the middle of that defense. The same can be said for Kamu Grugier-Hill, you know, their second highest number of snaps. And then Jalen Reeves-Maben. Yeah, I'm not writing home about any of these guys in the middle of the field. Again, I think, you know, looking at this, this is not a strength for this Texans defense. And finally, if we look at Jacksonville, this is interesting because they've got another first-round pick in Devin Lloyd out of Utah, who is going to presumably come in here and be a starter, maybe compete to be a starter at linebacker. And then they signed former Atlanta Falcon Foye Oluokun to be probably their premier linebacker. And Oluokun led the league in tackles last year. Having watched him firsthand, I can tell you, I think Jacksonville probably overpaid for him. He's a decent enough linebacker. He's not a top-tier linebacker. Certainly, in my mind, not on the same level as Darius Leonard. This one, to me, plays out pretty clearly. You've got to give the nod to the Colts simply because they've got one of the best linebackers in the league. His health is a concern. Hopefully, that will get rectified here, and he'll be ready to go by the time the regular season comes around. So, Colts, Tennessee, honestly, Jacksonville probably has a little bit of a nod over the Texans, whose quality is pretty poor across the board. All right, let's talk about the secondaries. And I wish we could spend more time in this. Perhaps we will in a future podcast. But right now, this is an area where I really love what the Colts have done. To me, picking up Stephon Gilmore was just a fantastic move for this team. You know, Kenny Moore, obviously the contract holdout is looming, but assuming he's back on the field, he's one of the best slot corners in the league. The concern I have here is obviously the other outside spot. Brandon Faison, I think he's got the potential to continue to fill this spot and hopefully will play well. But if you're looking at another spot on the Colts roster where they could potentially use an upgrade or maybe, you know, a more sure presence, it's that second outside corner. That said, very, very few teams have two lockdown corners. And I think having Kenny Moore as one of the best, you know, slot corners is going to make it hard to consistently pass on this Colts defense, which hasn't always been the case. I think the addition of Gilmore is going to make a big difference here. And if you go to safety, look, can we talk about how freakishly fast Julian Blackman is recovering from his Achilles tear? He is already practicing and just blows my mind. And if this guy's back on the field and he can play the full season, I love his upside. His potential to be a top-tier corner is there. They picked up a really savvy veteran in Rodney McLeod. I think he is someone that you can count on in a pinch. He's obviously on the wrong side of 30, not someone they're banking on in the long term, but he is someone that is going to help steady that room at safety. And man, let's talk about the potential for Nick Cross out of Maryland, one of the most elite athletes in this draft class, just off the chart measurables. And it's going to take him some time to develop. But boy, if you pair him long term with safety Julian Blackman, this could be a formidable pair. Really like what the Colts have here. And then obviously they do have Kari Willis, you know, former fourth round pick who's entering his fourth year. Can he show a little bit more consistency? If he can, this could be a really good safety group for the Colts. There are still some uncertainties, so we can't give them all of the benefit of the doubt yet. You know, Blackman does have to come back and play. That's looking good. That's looking promising. I really like this secondary for the Colts. I think they've done a lot to improve it, and getting some key guys back is going to make a big difference here. Now, if we look at the Titans, this is an interesting quandary here. At safety, they're pretty set. They have got a good duo at safety, at Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. These are two of the best safeties in the league. At corner, this is where things get really questionable for them. And this is where, you know, I think the Colts may have in total a little bit of an edge in the secondary. They've got Christian Fulton and Caleb Farley, who in his first year as a first-round pick was not particularly good. You know, they're obviously hoping he takes a big leap forward in year two. But this is a unit for Tennessee where the back end, really, really good. Two top-tier safeties. But on the outside, these corners are not anything to write home about. So it remains to be seen. But right now, yeah, we'll get around to how I see this one playing out. But this is a lot closer. You know, those two safeties are difference makers. They are difference makers. And It's hard to write them off, but you've got to have talent across the board when it comes to the secondary. Not sure that they're there. The Houston Texans at safety, not much to brag about here. Terrence Brooks, who is now on the wrong side of 30. And then you've got Eric Murray, who has, shown some flashes here and there, but is just not consistent enough. And then at corner, you've got Desmond King, who's been really good in the past. He had a rough year last year, so if he can bounce back, they've got a good corner there on the outside. And then, of course, Steven Nelson, who is decent enough. He's probably a middle of the pack cornerback. Texans, I think, a little bit better at corner than I thought, and arguably a little bit better at corner than what Tennessee's banking on a lot of guys taking a leap forward. And to me, that's the concern there. Jacksonville, they actually have some promising pieces in their secondary. Obviously Shaquille Griffin, who spent the first part of his career up there in Seattle, is now in Jacksonville. You've got Darius Williams on the other side, who is shown to be a fairly decent corner. Past that, their depth begins to fall apart. At free safety, they've got their former third-round pick, Andre Sisco, who had a fairly good rookie year. And if he takes a big step forward, he could be a player to watch out for. And then their sixth-year player, Rayshon Jenkins, former fourth-round pick, is a player that, middle of the pack, maybe back end of the pack. So here the story is probably not surprising. Texans, Jacksonville have a lot of question marks. I think Jacksonville edges out the Texans because they do have a pretty good player on the outside in Griffin. Tennessee and Indianapolis. How does this one play out? Look, the Titans have two of the best safeties in the league right now, and you have to put weight on that. You do. However, the Colts have two really good corners in Stephon Gilmore and Kenny Moore, and they have talent at safety. They've got upside at safety. This is tough, guys. For me, it's a 1A, 1B kind of thing between Indianapolis and Tennessee. I would probably give the nod to Tennessee right now because they do have two safeties that are top tier, but the Colts can easily surpass them with Julian Blackman reemerging as a top talent. And depending on the development of Nick Cross, if he can get in there in his rookie year and contribute a little bit, and if Kari Willis can show himself to be the player that many people thought he was going to be originally, this is a unit that could really turn the tide and put Indianapolis on top in the secondary. Either way, I think it's close enough when you look at safety and corner combined. Indianapolis is very close. I'd give them the nod at corner simply because Gilmore is a very, very good talent. Kenny Moore is one of the best in the league at that slot corner position, and Tennessee is weak there. But Tennessee obviously gets the nod at safety for now. For now. We need to see our guys develop. I think they can. It may take a little bit longer than we're hoping. So right now, this is sort of a push. 1A, 1B, Colts in Tennessee. So where does that rank all these teams in the AFC South? I think right now Jacksonville is, third. Texans are fourth. Tennessee and Indianapolis. Who's on top for defense? Man, this is tough. I think the Colts have made a lot of improvements on the defensive front. I think their pass rush will be better. I don't know if it's going to be top 10 better, but I think they're going to be, maybe in that next tier, like 10 to 15 in that range as their pass rush goes, which will be a nice improvement. I think the secondary is going to still be, is going to be good with Gilmore and Kenny Moore anchoring that unit. I love the potential of the safeties. Obviously, I think this is the better linebacker group in the AFC South. The Titans have the better pass rush. They're bringing all those players back. They've got some weaknesses, though. Linebacker is not a great unit, and they've definitely got some, question marks, a lot of hope for potential at corner. So right now, from a total unit standpoint, I'm going to give the nod to Indianapolis. They did have the better overall DVOA. They are good at stopping the run. I think they're going to be slightly better at stopping the pass this year. I'm going to give them the slight nod here, but look, Tennessee is very close. They are not a distant second. And honestly, I think if you were to pin me down on this and you said, hey, they should be 1A, 1B, I'd be hard-pressed to disagree. Both teams are counting on development in their secondary. For the Colts, they're counting on development at safety. They're counting on Julian Blackman coming back and, you know, really sort of finalizing becoming that player that everyone was hoping he would be. And obviously Tennessee is banking on some of these young corners turning the corner. Man, did not intend that pun, folks. Turning the corner and, you know, having a better year. So there's a lot of youth questions in the secondary for both teams, just at different positions. But I really like what the Colts have going here. And we've heard it said, you know, a lot of the analysts have said this may be the most complete Colts team. And I think as you run down, you know, top to bottom, the only real big question mark is going to be depth, maybe the other outside corner for the Colts. And look, when you start talking about a team where their issues are the depth players, that's a great position to be in. Really love what the Colts have done. Chris Ballard, what he's done. Give me them as a 1A or 1B in this situation, and I'm going to be quite happy. Love how this defense is looking on paper as we head into 2022. All right, guys, that wraps it up for this podcast. Let me know what you think. Do you think the Colts defense is ready to take that leap forward and really become that true number one in the AFC South? Let me know. You can follow me on Twitter at NFLDW. And of course, you can read our articles daily at StampedeBlue.com. This is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.